orthopedic surgeon with over 15 years of practice in all areas of hip and knee surgery. Jonathan has worked and trained in both Sydney and London and made clinical visits and fellowships across the United Kingdom and Europe to enhance his specialist training. We do hope you enjoy this podcast, but please remember that the advice given here is of a general nature and is not intended as specific advice about any given patient. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the doctor, not PodMD. If you do have a patient on whom you require specific advice, then please seek that advice from a colleague with appropriate expertise in that area. Jonathan, thanks for talking with us today on PodMD.
Oh, thanks for asking me, Sean.
The topic of today's discussion is knee replacement surgery. Jonathan, can you please explain what are the different options available today when it comes to knee replacement?
Absolutely. The options an orthopaedic surgeon can choose from when assessing a patient requiring knee replacement surgery are either a partial replacement or a total replacement. And total knee replacement is the most common of these procedures by a long way, although the name itself can be confusing because even though the ends of the femur and the tibia are replaced, the patella can be resurfaced or left alone, and this decision can depend on patient factors or surgeon preference. The partial knee replacement is a term used to describe replacing just one of the three compartments of the knee. So this is either the medial unicompartmental or medial uni knee, the lateral uni, or the patellofemoral joint replacement. The option of partial knee replacement remains controversial in the orthopaedic community, and this is mainly due to the fact that they have a higher rate of revision, especially in our joint registries where we record the results of all the arthroplasties that we do. There's a number of reasons for that, and one of them is definitely patient selection. In the past, the uni knee has been seen as a bridge to a total knee for a younger patient, but it's really not an appropriate solution for the young and very active patient because it's going to wear out early, and in this case, an osteotomy would be much more durable. Another reason that a partial knee tends to have a higher revision rate is that if a patient goes to their GP or a surgeon with a uni that's bothering them, it actually seems easier to revise it to a total knee replacement, whereas it's highly unlikely that a surgeon is going to revise a total knee replacement that's bothering someone because that procedure is so much bigger. So therefore, selecting patients is critical to make sure that they're appropriate for the surgery in the first place. Therefore, it's not only essential to select the patients carefully for a unicompartmental knee replacement, but also to educate them fully on the post-operative recovery and that it is very important to continue to be followed up by the surgeon who performed the procedure, as the recovery period is really only well understood by those who perform the procedure itself. The way that a total knee replacement is planned and positioned has developed over the years, really with the use of computer navigation and patient-specific instrumentation. Now, not everyone uses these technologies, but fortunately for them, a total knee replacement is much more forgiving to being placed in a poor position than a partial knee. And some of the failures of partial replacements came purely through poor positioning or poor technique. Therefore, the robots have help to improve our understanding of why some implants have failed when they appear to be in an ideal position on an x-ray. And this is only really possible in units where detailed data is collected and discussed at specialist joint replacement meetings.
So, Jonathan, what are the advantages of robotics in knee replacement surgery?
Well, Sean, the robots have helped surgeons with two major technical issues. Firstly, they allow for detailed planning of the position of the implants before any bony cuts are made. We can then look at the interaction of the joint surfaces through a range of motion and assess them and optimize them on a screen and place the implants in an ideal position first time when it comes to the surgery. So this computer navigation really is the mainstay of what I've always used in my joint replacement surgery, and it's along the lines of the old carpenter saying, measure twice and cut once. The second area that robots make a difference is in the accuracy of the cuts that we make. So navigation itself can limit our cuts to half a degree and half a millimetre, but the added advantage of the robot is the limitations that it places on the excursion of the saw blade or of the burr. So the computer maps out the bony margins and stops the saw blade or the burr from cutting anything outside of that area. So this not only protects a soft tissue from damage, but it also can reduce the occurrence of overshooting on a sore cut, which especially in the case of a uni knee can lead to a stress riser, and these can lead to fractures of the tibia in the early stages of recovery. This has been shown in a recent Journal of Arthroplasty paper by Kayani out of Professor Haddad's unit in London, UK, which showed a reduced incidence of soft tissue and bony damage when performing the knee replacement.
So are there any disadvantages to the use of robots in this setting?
Yeah, absolutely. The robots are expensive, Sean, and this really does limit their availability to all patients at the moment. This is especially true for patients in the public sector. The robots themselves cost anywhere between $500,000 and $1 million to purchase, and there are significant ongoing costs in their use. In addition to that, they add a significant amount of time to the procedure, especially in terms of setup for the nursing staff. Staff also need extra training because it is a different type of procedure. There was a paper in the Journal of Arthroplasty by a chap called Machetti in 2016 who found that a unit would need to be doing 94 unicompartmental knees a year to make the purchase of a robot cost effective. And when you consider that a busy arthroplasty surgeon might do 20 uni knees a year, this means that for uni knees alone, the robots are only cost effective in the highest volume centres. Now, robots can also be used for total knee replacement, and some can be used for hip replacement as well. And this may well drive their cost effectiveness, but the value for these procedures has yet to be well established. So really the main disadvantages are that they're expensive and they add time to the procedure.
So Jonathan, how are computers useful in knee replacement surgery?
Computers are mainly used in two stages. Firstly, in the planning process, and also during the case in the form of computer navigation. So prior to the case, I will send my patients for a CT scan. This then goes to the engineers who transform the images and overlay the components, which gives me information on sizing and allows me to adjust the position of the implants before I've even entered the operating theatre. This gives me a chance to try a few different options in terms of position, and it also allows me to think through the case in detail, which reduces the amount of thinking that has to be done during the case itself. It also reduces the number of implants and trays needed for the case as the planning narrows down the sizes and the options to be used, and this all drives cost efficiency and also makes it easier for the nursing staff. During the surgery itself, computer navigation involves placing trackers into the bone above and below the knee, and they constantly tell the computer where the knee is in space. So I find this important because it gives me the opportunity to adjust in real time, in a very accurate way, where I'm placing my bony cuts and therefore where I'm placing my implants. And the computer can also give me information on how tight or loose the knee is through its range of motion, and this allows me to balance the knee more accurately.
Can you please talk us through the advantages and also any disadvantages, I suppose, of CAS?
So as mentioned, the computer planning and computer navigation gives me extra information before, during, and after the surgery. So for some patients, this extra information isn't needed and everything goes as planned in a routine manner. However, the advantage of the extra information from the preoperative planning and also from the intraoperative navigation feedback is that if something doesn't go according to plan, or if something suddenly changes during the operation, I have all this extra information to give me a much better chance of working out exactly why things have changed and what I can do about it. So I tend to liken it to loading up Google Maps routinely for my commute home. I know the way home and I don't need it to tell me how to get there. That is until there's a breakdown en route and the traffic starts piling up around the corner where I wouldn't see it until it was too late. The advanced warning I get from planning my route in the map software and the alternative options it gives me really allows me to save time and work around the problem rather than just sitting there telling myself there was nothing I could have done about it and it was just bad luck.
Finally, Jonathan, let's talk a bit about patient-specific implants. Can you tell us more about what implants are used or might be used in this surgical setting?
I think, Sean, here there's a question of understanding what's meant by patient-specific. There's actually no real patient-specific implants commercially available for routine primary knee replacements in Australia, and there's only one company that does it in the United States. All the major companies that make knee implants have a large range of sizes that cover the vast majority of patients. There are specific deformities or special cases where specific implants can be made for these patients, but they cost many tens of thousands of dollars, and so it's not appropriate for all but the rarest of cases. The patient-specific element of what's often described, or PSI, actually refers to the instrumentation. What happens with PSI is that patient's imaging is used to 3D print cutting guides that are specific to that patient. Again, the planning process allows the surgeon to manipulate where these guides are placed and where the cuts are made prior to the surgery. And then the guides are bolted onto the bone and the saw cuts are made in that predetermined place. They do take time to make, and they also have a limited lifespan, and therefore the timing of the operation needs to be carefully planned. And again, this makes it less suitable for public patient lists where the surgeon has less control over the appointed lists.
Compared to a standard total knee replacement, do patient-specific instruments aid in a better patient recovery or the range of movement post-surgery?
Sean, I don't think there's any good evidence that patient-specific instrumentation aids in better patient recovery or quality of movement after surgery. But what they have been shown is an equivalent result in a number of studies. So therefore, the advantage mainly lies in reduced operating time. Now, this doesn't only benefit the surgeon who can get more cases done, but it also reduces the time spent under anaesthetic. And we know that for the patient, this can reduce a number of their complication risks, including infection.
Jonathan, thank you so much for your time today in the PodMD studio. That's been a very interesting discussion of knee replacement surgery. Could you please sum up with your three key take-home messages for our PodMD listeners?
Sure, my take-home messages are that computer navigation and robotics do lead to more accurate surgery. Using computers for detailed planning can highlight potential problems and therefore improve outcomes. And finally, patients may ask for a certain procedure, such as a robotic surgery, but it may not be the best option for them. And once again, it's important that they have a discussion with their surgeon so that we can work out what is ideal for them to get the best outcome.
Well, Jonathan, thanks again for coming into the PodMD studio today.
Thank you, Sean. It was good to be here.